In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the Immaculate Conception. We honor Mary as the Immaculate Conception, the masterpiece, I think, of God's creation. From the beginning, God had planned, actually before the beginning of this world. Beginning implies time, but that's a whole other philosophical thing. From forever, God had planned to create this earth. He had planned to come and enter this earth as his own creature. At once, the creator and the creature, both God and man. And his ideal is beautiful. His desire is to be with the sons of men. To enjoy our company, to enjoy our love, to love us and to be loved by him. This is God's plan. But Adam and Eve messed that up. And you say, well, how could they mess it up? They're not God, but they have been given a free will. They have been made like God. For God doesn't want a slave, a robot, to love him, or a robot, or a dog, or a cat can't love. Isn't that right, Matthew? What we see in the dog and the cat are affections. Those are natural, and we often confuse affection and love. They're not the same thing. Human beings standing before God in the image of God with the free will have the capacity to say, I will, I love. And this is something that a robot doesn't have. This is something your cat or your dog doesn't have. They come close. It's a reflection of this love. It's a reflection of this independence, but it is not love. And so we come into this world. Our souls are empty. Where there should be grace, where there should be life, we come into this world empty. And this morning, my silent meditation, I was thinking, how can I express this? And of course, I see this dried old sponge that won't absorb any water. You ever seen those when they get so dry and hard and brittle? They're useless as a sponge. You have to let them soak for a while. And I think this is like our souls. We come into this world like this dried up old sponge. Incapable of receiving grace, without any life. But the Blessed Mother has come. And she, as we see in today's gospel, the angel addresses her as full of grace. She is filled. She is not dried up. She is filled to capacity. She is full of grace. She is full of the life of God. And that is what is missing in our souls when we come into this world. But that doesn't mean we're nothing. We still have a great dignity because we're made in the image and likeness of God. We're just a little bit less than an angel who is pure spirit, and God is pure spirit. But God took up our nature to become one with us. And I think there is nothing more beautiful than cooperating with God in his creation and bringing forth this world to blossom as he desired, to create his vision of us. He could force us, but then it wouldn't be free. It wouldn't be love, and it wouldn't be very satisfying. He wants our cooperation. What will you do? And I think this is what the devils and the world have assaulted our young, our women, telling them that they should murder their own children, that they should not conceive children, that having children is a burden, it is a pain, and it's beneath them. And I think, on the contrary, there is nothing more noble, there is nothing more beautiful than to bring forth this child. Yes, it may be a dried up old sponge, without any grace, without the life of God in it. But Christ has come and he's given us the capacity to change this. A little tub of hot water will soften that sponge. The baptism of that little child will soften that soul, will wash away the original sin, and now that soul is capable of receiving the Holy Ghost. That soul is capable of being filled with the grace of God and growing in that grace, expanding and expanding and expanding. And I find that we reflect God also in this image, that we have really a limitless capacity to grow. When you think you've got all the grace you can hold, there's always room to put a little bit more. When we think can't receive any more love, or we can't love any more, you find that our heart expands a little bit and there's just a little bit more room. And as long as we live, we can always grow in grace. We can always grow in virtue. We can always draw closer to God. The Blessed Mother came into this world by nature, full of grace, spared from original sin because she was already, might say, pre-redeemed by her Son in anticipation of his birth, of his sacrifice on the cross. Mary has been saved. She has been set aside. But she also gives us the ideal, the original template. This was God's original plan, that every one of us should come into this world in this manner. But because of original sin, we come in as a dried up sponge. But our Lord has come and said, don't worry, you dried up sponges, I can show you how we can put life back into you. Not all is lost. You are precious still. You are needed by me. You are still useful to me. If you will only allow me to enter in and work with you, if you will only cooperate with me, if you will only love me as I love you, we can do great things. But the sad part is, every time we sin, we say, I don't want that grace. I'd rather remain as this dried up old sponge. I don't want your help, Lord. I can do it myself. And we remain a dried up old sponge, and bitter and hateful, adding sin upon sin upon sin. And the graces just fall off. They never stay, they never stick, they never enter in and really take root. And so as I honor the Blessed Mother, we recall the feast of her Immaculate Conception, and we read in the book of Proverbs how wisdom's desire was to be with the sons of men, to play with us, that he was there from the very beginning. Christ was there from the very beginning because he is God. Before God poised the fountains, before he even created the earth or separated the earth from the sea, when he established the poles on which this earth spins and all the planets and stars throughout the universe, Christ was there. The plan is there and it is all coming into fruition. And Christ is looking forward to the day that he can come to be with us. He's looking forward to the day when this world will be recreated and all will be made in his image and likeness. All will be good. All will be holy. All will be filled with grace like the Blessed Mother. And now the challenge is for us. Are we going to hold on to this broken world, to this broken life? Are we going to look for happiness where it can't be found? Or are we going to look to the Blessed Mother? Are we going to look to Christ? Are we going to look to God and say, Lord, where is this happiness? Where is this goodness? How do I do it? And not just ask the question, but listen for the answer and begin to put it into practice. Are we going to become, as they say, part of the solution or part of the problem? And I dare say many of us think we're part of the solution when we're still part of the problem. It's time for us to answer with the Blessed Mother. When the angel appeared to her, he did not say, Mary, you are going to be the Mother of God. As a statement, as a command, but it is rather a question. God is respecting her free will. He's not going to do this without her or against her. Will you accept? And I find this is the most beautiful part of the life of the Blessed Mother. She answers simply to God. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Here I am, Lord. I'm your creature. You made me. You know what's best for me. Do with me whatever you like. I offer you no resistance. I am your supple sponge. Fill me. Do with me whatever you will. I'm yours. And that's the key to our own happiness. That's the key to creating a world that God is going to create. God will create, recreate this world. He will renew this world and it will be beautiful. It will be wonderful and it will be a great place to be. The only question is, will I be in this new world? Or will I be outside of this new world? Will I spend an eternity in happiness in this creation of God? Or will I spend an eternity of misery? That's the only question. God's will be accomplished. Am I part of his plan, or am I going to refuse to be part of his plan? He has invited every one of us. He has offered us baptism. He has given us a second chance. He can soften up that soul of ours. He can fill it with grace. He can make it just like the Blessed Mother's. We just have to say, yes, Lord. Here I am. You know what is best. I don't know what is best for me. Only you know. And so here I am, Lord, do with me whatever you will. And this is not just a one-time arrangement, but it has to be said every single day, every single hour, perhaps every single moment of our entire lives. Because our lives are a time of trial. It is a burden, it is carrying a cross. If the physical things of this world don't cause us a cross, or the animals and the wildlife don't cause us some kind of cross, it's going to be our neighbor. And if it's not our neighbor, it's going to be our children or our parents or our brother or our sister. I'll never forget getting in between arguments between fellow religious. It's not a nice place to be, but I have to set them down and to say, look, we're brothers. We love one another. And you, brother, you get under the skin of this brother, you're a cross to him. You're not perfect. You're a burden. But likewise, you are a burden to him. You are a cross to him. We are each other's burdens. We are each other's crosses. And it's so easy to find fault with one another. And if we could use that to our advantage, we could improve. Oh, brother, tell me, what do you see in me that needs improving? And he'll be happy to write you out a whole list. Where do I begin? If you have the courage. But then you must be ready to reciprocate. Not out of envy, not out of malice or revenge. I'll show you. But truly out of a spirit brotherly charity. And we must start to realize that those who hurt us because we love them, because they love us. It's a very profound philosophical idea that my mother taught me before I could even understand philosophy. When you're fighting and your little children and you're squabbling over this or that, and you cry out for mom to come and intervene, she'd say, they only tease you because they love you. They only hurt you because they love you. And as a little child, you think, mom, you've got this all wrong. You don't understand at all. And I can tell you, it wasn't until I was studying philosophy many years later as an adult, I said, I get it now. Mom was right. My brother, my sister couldn't hurt me if I didn't love them. I couldn't hurt them if they didn't love me. What causes the pain was the fact that we loved one another. If I truly hated my sister, I would not call her names. I would not go near her. I would not touch her. I wouldn't touch her things. I'd say, stay far away from me. I want nothing to do with you. But because I love her, I'm forced to interact. Because I love her, I want her attention, and so I pull her ponytail. We need that attention. But most importantly, what we need is not attention. What we need is an acknowledgement that we are loved. You say, attention is what we need, good or bad. The child's going to get it. If you can't give the child positive attention, they will get negative attention, but they will get attention. But what they're really craving is love. Do you love me enough to say, stop it? Do you love me enough to correct me? Do you love me enough to become a cross to me? And we think that love is all about having fun, sitting back and relaxing. When the Blessed Mother, full of love, says her yes to Christ, or to the angel, to God, She accepts a terrible cross, a terrible burden. She's not called our Mother of Sorrows for nothing. All the joys have their corresponding sorrows. They have their crosses. But it is love that creates the cross, and it is love that gives us the capacity to carry that cross. And so as I look upon Christ, and I wonder, what is this thing called love? St. John tells me in his gospel, God is love. Christ is love. And what does that love mean to us? What does that love invite us to? Well, Christ says there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for the brethren. Love is sacrifice. The world thinks of love as sacrifice of material things, of our time, our money, our energy. But most importantly, love is the sacrifice of ourself. It is the sacrifice of our very being. And it is represented in the religious life under holy obedience, where I say, not my will, but thine be done. And again, I come back to the Blessed Mother to end with this act of love, this act of obedience, this act of sacrifice is all summed up. When she says, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Not my will, but thine be done. It's what our Lord said in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's what he invites us to do. That is what the Blessed Mother shows us. Now let's just do it. Yes, Lord, here I am. I'm your servant, your creature. Do with me what you will. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et moniet semper. Amen.